now, good listeners, and welcome to my humble home.
It's a really lovely house, Andrew.
Thanks, Graham. I enjoy the high Georgian ceilings more in spring than I do in winter.
The way you introduced that really went... Is it Jazz? Jazz guy from Bass Show?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for another jazz podcast. I'm Andrew Gregory. Welcome to my house.
I'm Jonathan Roberts.
I'm Graham Morrison.
And I'm Ben Everard.
And in this episode, we have lots of pleasantly exciting news done in a lightning style. Discoveries of the week, rants and raves. It's John and Andrew this week. Speak your brains and our open ballots.
Wonderful.
You can subscribe at... Hang on. You can't subscribe to the podcast. It's free. We give you this every 2 weeks for free. But if you feel like chucking some... Manky a tattered old coppers our way, you can subscribe to the Linux Format magazine at http://diagonal line going from up top right to bottom left tinyurl.com/lxfoffer1, and we've actually found out what the offer is, haven't we, this
yes.
week?
That's great.
We actually did our homework.
we've done our homework. We're being semi-professional. What is the offer?
You can get 13 issues for $59.99. Or you can get free. You can pay direct debit every 3 months, quarterly, $12.98 for a quarter. But that's actually cheaper than getting 13 issues in one go. It works out at $51.92.
Yeah.
So we recommend that.
We totally recommend that.
That's in pounds sterling.
In pounds sterling.
That's in pounds sterling.
I think those offers are only available in the UK.
But people outside the UK also get quite a good deal, don't they? Although not as spectacularly good as that, because postage costs money.
Yeah, but if you subscribe, you save money.
Considering you get all of us for a whole year, you know, that's quite cheap.
Not bad. So subscribe and enjoy the magazine. Time for news?
Yeah, let's do news.
Right, it's time for news. And this month we've actually got even more than we had in the last few weeks. So I'm going to go as quickly as possible. First story, even more Raspberry Pi delays. This time they're waiting on getting CE certification, which I think is an EU requirement for electronic products. It's kind of safety standards, all of that kind of stuff. Thoughts, Ben?
Again, it's great that they've been open about it and they've let everyone know what's going on. As I've said many times before, it's a beta release. Expect these problems. It'll help them get all these issues ironed out before the final release, which is hopefully later in the year.
Graham?
I don't blame them, but it's just pity that this has happened. As we were talking about earlier on, it's great that they get a continual publicity from this, because more publicity is better. But I'm surprised that it wasn't considered, considering they have the technical expertise to put something like the Raspberry Pi together.
You'd expected a bit more forethought.
Yeah.
Just goes to show that it's a really complex going on.
Yeah.
Andrew?
I concur with Graham. And also I'd like to add that it's the nanny state gone mad.
Those Brussels bureaucrats are causing the real problem here.
Unelected technocrats. Mario Monti telling me what I can do with my own hardware.
And no, listeners, you're not listening to the Daily Mail's podcast. I'd just like to add that actually, as well, there's an interesting twist to this story in that they had actually thought about it and thought they could get away without the CE mark, because BeagleBoard and other similar projects do. But their distributors don't want to distribute and take the risk.
Right.
And so they are currently talking to the government and trying to clarify and seeing if they can or not. But in the meantime, they're just doing the certification anyway. I think it's really cool that this is all in the open. Anyone who does a similar project
Absolutely.
Will learn a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're all learning about what goes into these electronic projects. So not just are they educating us how to program, about business and distribution and all kinds of stuff as well. I think it's cool.
And it won't damage the Raspberry Pi in the end, I don't think.
No, I don't think it will either, especially since it is, like Ben said, a developer release. The Munich local government has saved about €4 million after moving to Linux, they reckon.
Oh, Munich.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's...
How did they do that?
Was it Mike?
Yeah. Since Mike...
That's what Mike moved to do.
Ausgezeichnet.
That's all I really have to say about that. I think it's cool. Public officials should use Linux.
So where was that data proof? I remember a couple of years ago going Munich making this announcement that they were moving to free software and open source.
Well, I found the story on Slashdot and it was linked to a translation of the original announcement.
But it's good that they feel that it's important 2 years later or 3 years later to actually say this has been a success.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Because it's something that other cities and even town councils, you could say the same thing if you get involved and say, look, Munich can do this.
Yeah.
We can do it too.
And it's not just about the money saving, it's about getting to that with open standards and stuff later on. But Ben, anything thoughts?
Yeah, it sounds great. Do we, I mean, I'm assuming it's OpenSUSE as it's Germany. Do we know that?
I have no idea, actually.
Well, from the URL, it says Linux, which L-I-M-U-X, which I guess is a custom version for the Munich Council, which will inevitably be based on SUSE.
Yeah.
Andrew, those are your thoughts?
Those are my thoughts.
Excellent. Okay, moving on. Vivaldi, previously Spark, the Linux tablet that comes with KDE on,
to keep changing the name.
Has sold. It has.
You can tell that Aaron worked on KDE for so long.
But I really like Vivaldi as a name. It's not your usual plasma active nonsense that no one knows what it is.
Plasma active that Aaron Sago just created.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Sago. Please send us a tablet to review, despite the mean things we say. So yeah, Vivaldi, previously Spark, it's sold out.
Sold out.
I think that's really great news.
Absolutely brilliant in this day and age.
I think it's really good. Yeah. If this is a new company he's starting up, which I think it is, I think that's great for him
it's
as well, personally.
So reassuring.
Really pleased for him.
It's great news. And great news for KDE, great news for Aaron personally, great news for other people who must want to do projects like this.
It shows that there's a market for it, which is cool. Andrew?
Although I think that KDE is a pile of steaming nonsense, I think Plasma Active is awesome.
Yeah, and this is what Plasma Active is, what's running on it. And although it's confusing how it's described and the language used to describe it as a project, what the outcome of that is quite interesting and quite exciting.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ben?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. From a personal point of view, my only slight disappointment is that it's a 7-inch tablet rather than a 10-inch tablet, which for me is a bit too small. The hardware they're building on, the Zenithink C71, does have a 10-inch version, the C91, which I have considered getting and putting together myself, but I haven't.
You should do and write a tutorial about it.
We might have to do that if we can't get one for review.
Okay.
So that's Vivaldi. I think it's great. And for
it's a nice name.
Yeah, I think it's a really
nice
name.
It makes me think of the summer for some reason.
Even though
there's all four seasons.
Yeah. That's just code names for operating systems running on it, all sorted out, at least for the first four releases. GNOME 3.4 is out, so moving from KDE to GNOME. I think it looks like quite a good release. I think the new Epiphany release, the web browser for GNOME, looks really good. Really clean user interface, completely cut down on mess. There's no menu bar. It's all been put into one icon, like on Chrome.
Right, yeah. It is WebKit anyway now.
Yeah, it supports. They're introducing support for plugins and extensions from other browsers. Web app support is being dealt with, and they're going to appear in the GNOME shell interface and stuff. So
will it be the best browser experience on GNOME Shell?
I think it might be. I'm going to install it this afternoon to try it out. I may well review it
this coming issue. Yeah.
It looks really good. And also Unity's approach. They've adopted Unity's approach. So when windows are maximized, the window bar disappears, the title bar disappears. So it's maximized so you get even more of your screen space. I'm not sure about that.
I don't like that.
I'm not sure about it.
I mean, if you look at even something like the iPad, you know, they don't do that.
But they don't have window bars.
No, they
bars.
Don't. But they still accept there's an area of the screen used for managing your current application or session.
But I think there must be something like that. I don't know. We'll see. I'll have a look proper look this afternoon. But it looks good. They've been developing applications, which I think is the exciting
great
part
progress
of this
as well. I mean,
I just that they're developing applications is exciting, not just for desktop. Free software award winners this year. Anyone seen this?
No, I didn't. Sorry,
Andrew, Ben.
I only had a brief scan over it.
Have we won anything?
We have not.
Oh, what?
We should. We should nominate ourselves next year.
Let's create our own awards and make us win it.
Oh, we should do that. That'd be cool. Like when we did the podcast roundup and gave the best podcast to another group.
Yeah.
Who did we give that to?
That was the Linux Outlaws.
Oh, well, congratulations to them. Interestingly, the Ruby developer won one for personal contribution to advancing free software, something along those lines. But also a project that I'd not heard of called GNU Health, which is, I think, a health management system sort of thing, you know, managing patient records, that sort of thing.
Did they sponsor the awards?
No, not so I say no. But apparently it's been adopted by the UN teaching university, medical university or something like that.
Are those the people that are costing the NHS 19 trillion gazillion pounds?
I think they're probably the people trying to save the NHS 19 gazillion billion pounds. I think it sounds like a cool project worth investigating further. Ben, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually know anything about the project, but from what you've told me, it sounds interesting.
Cool.
We should do our own awards.
We should do.
Yeah. We should. We used to.
We used to. As in, so often is the answer to these things.
We should not do it. We should do it in the middle of the year rather than at the end of the year. Yeah. Like every other award.
Like our distro thing. Yeah. Yeah.
December. We should do it.
It usually meant just Nick going through all of the votes and deleting all of the millions and millions of spurious fake answers.
Okay, penultimate story. Free Software Foundation Europe has celebrated Document Freedom Day by sending handcuffs to officials.
Kinky.
Yes. Yeah,
they've probably already got plenty of pairs.
Probably been arrested for developers who sent these for, I don't know, inciting racial hatred or some sort of thing. But Stephen Fry spoke about it again. If anyone think that's exciting?
No, I'm bored with Stephen Fry. I've had enough of him. I don't want him on the internets or on the tellies.
He is everywhere, isn't he?
He is.
In every country.
He just needs to...
He's an institution.
I want to know what Scarlett Johansson has to say about document freedom. Yeah. We should find out.
We should. As Linux journalists, we should get in touch and ask. Sounds like a legitimate cause.
Interestingly, this probably isn't interesting at all, but I read somewhere the other day about the way Hollywood distributes scripts to actors, and I think it was an interview with Gary Oldman, and it was talking about the latest Batman film, and it's the opposite of document freedom, because the scripts are kind of self-explode and you can only read only read them on a computer, and must be a totally proprietary app. If you walk away from it for more than 2 minutes, it locks up. If you leave it open overnight, it'll delete itself, and you only have so much time to read it. And also bits of the script are missing, so you learn the script, well, for Batman anyway, you only learn the script up to a certain point, so you don't know what the ending is, or they put different endings in for different people and then cool. tell people, so that the whole thing is so at least
so Batman. Cool. Yeah. Like complete off opposite of everything you believe in here on the magazine, but and it shouldn't be surprising given it's for MPAA who are suing everyone.
Yes, yeah.
But cool nonetheless.
Yeah, the opposite of document freedom.
Finally, some really great news to end the news section on. Microsoft is open sourcing ASP.NET.
It's fantastic. It's brilliant news. And as we were saying earlier on, it's not even a Microsoft open source license. It's Apache 2, isn't it?
At least for some parts of it, yeah. It's just fantastic.
ASP is still a massive thing, a massive part of everybody's .NET, especially with .NET.
Yeah,
it's great news for Mono and for the free software version of .NET. Really good. And also, I'm sorry, but what I really liked in the statement about this being made open source was the fact that they were moving to a more community-driven development environment. So it was going on CodePlex, which has now moved to Git.
Yeah.
And they're going to accept contributions from people not within Microsoft.
So it's a real open source project. It's not just for code to release and they're going to do their own thing, which is really cool. Does anyone know why they've decided to do this? Because I don't.
It's because they love us.
Because they've realised free software is the way forwards.
Well, I think in the same post, they said that they were linking .NET to lots of other really cool JavaScript
jQuery and stuff,
jQuery, JSON. And maybe the easiest way they found of being able to do that is actually to say, well, let's just open source it.
Be interesting to see what effect a big open sourcing has on the culture at Microsoft, if this has further implications in the next few years for how they view open source.
Yeah, it's not so much a direct threat now. No. It's something they can kind of embrace because it makes their product better.
It'll be interesting to see if that's how it works out, for sure.
What if Apple would do the same?
I doubt it. They are more likely to follow MPAA's route and force your documents to explode when you don't pay an upgrade fee every 3 weeks.
Yes, yeah.
So
or Sony.
Or Sony,
did the same with the PS, PSP
root,
games.
And putting rootkits on their CDs. That is the end of the news section.
Great section.
Good section, John.
Thank you.
And that moves us on to Discovery of the Week, where we tell you about the awesome things we've discovered this fortnight. John, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so mine's not Linux related this week, but it's really cool. There's, I've forgotten the name of it, but anyway, it will be in the notes. Graham will find it later. But there's this really cool new project where they're trying to get together the best textbooks introducing you to any field, so that you know the best way to start learning any field is to follow that textbook. So you don't have to scrounge around Wikipedia and blog posts and all of this stuff. You can just jump straight in with the good resources.
That's excellent.
It is really cool, but it gets better, because I found out about this on a website called Metafilter, which is a really cool website. I love Metafilter. It's a great community blog. But it turns out that a while ago, someone had put up a post in Ask Metafilter, kind of answer question and answer section, asking for specialists in a field to post the best layman's introduction to that field. And it turns out Metafilter's users are specialists in all kinds of fields, from chemical engineering to home brewing to electrical engineering, programming, horse riding, just so many different things. And there's just links to every kind of book you can imagine to get you started, just to understand that field and have a general grasp of what's going on. We'll put that link in the notes as well. And it's well worth spending half an hour, and it will take you half an hour to get through all the suggestions. And you'll probably spend about £100 on books after working through it. But it's just really fantastic.
That's great discovery.
Yeah, sounds great. Andrew, do you want to take us on to what you've been doing?
I have many discoveries.
Ooh, tell us more.
Many discoveries. I've got so many discoveries that I'm even keeping one back for next fortnight. Yeah, I've just got so many discoveries. I've got discoveries coming out of my ears. My first and most immediately Linux-related discovery is that in the release notes for the latest version of Ubuntu, this is the Precise Pangolin Ubuntu 12.04, the word Linux is only mentioned once. And that is in connection with installing Ubuntu alongside Linux. Not alongside another Linux, but alongside Linux.
Linux,
yes.
Like Windows OS 10.
Exactly, yeah. And they've renamed the Linux kernel the Ubuntu kernel. Which is kind of, you know, I could see what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, in the same way that Apple have distanced themselves from BSD to create a brand for OS X, Ubuntu is trying to do the same thing.
But Apple doesn't mention the kernel. This is my issue with this, is that Apple doesn't mention the kernel. Whereas Ubuntu was mentioning the kernel, and it is the Linux kernel, they might have added some
patches. There's no need to mention the kernel at all.
No.
You know,
no. If they do mention the kernel, they should say Linux if they're mentioning the kernel.
There was Darwin, which kind of encapsulated their BSD stuff, so they didn't have to reference it directly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely agree. I mean, what is the disadvantage? If they have to talk about the kernel, why not say Linux kernel? Yeah. I don't understand that.
Yeah, or just kernel.
Yeah.
There's no need to try and claim credit for something you haven't done. And that, all the people that email us about, you know, writing Linux instead of GNU Linux, this is what you should be annoyed with.
This is where it leads.
Not us. Another discovery. Microsoft. In 1990, Microsoft had a revenue of $1.2 billion. How many patents did they hold? Software patents.
None. They didn't exist then, did they?
None.
25.
700.
Well, according to N Software Patents, they had 5 patents, which just goes to show that you can build a hugely successful technology company
yes.
without strangling the life out of innovation in the field. And I got that while I was doing a bit of reading around Kieran O'Riordan, who is our interview subject this issue. Yes, he works for N Software Patents. I should know that. Cash4access.com, go there, be amused. And finally, e-petitions. I've gone crazy for e-petitions. It's like a petition, but it's e, it's electronic.
Ooh, tell
if
us
you,
more.
If you put the letter e in front of anything, you sound so current and modern.
Not i-petitions.
No, we're not there yet. We're not quite there yet. The e-petition system is a way that the UK government canvasses opinion on things.
Ignores opinion, I think.
And ignores opinion on them.
They've come to get us.
Yeah, so I've
signed up to put my name to a petition to get Alan Turing on the next £10.
How did you sign
note.
That one? Cool.
On the next £10 note, yeah.
Don't they have to discuss things in Parliament when it gets to 100,000 or something?
They don't have to. They have to consider it.
They have to consider discussing it.
They have a limited number of slots where they will consider things over 100,000. Right. So they have to discuss a certain number.
Okay.
But I think they don't necessarily have to.
So essentially, it's next to useless. But
you have a voice.
It gives you
parole.
It gives you the illusion of at least being.
Talk amongst yourselves. We'll get on with running the country.
So I got carried away then, and I also signed the Stop the Beer Duty Escalator petition, which, because I think beer is expensive enough already, thank you very much. And then I found two petitions that are more or less identical. One of them reads, Thatcher's state funeral to be privatised.
I think that's quite fitting.
In keeping with the great lady's legacy, Margaret Thatcher's state funeral should be funded and managed by the private sector to offer the best value and choice for end users and other stakeholders. The undersigned believe that the legacy of the former PM deserves nothing less, and that offering this unique opportunity is an ideal way to cut government's expense and further prove the merits of liberalised economics that Baroness Thatcher spearheaded. The other one, almost identical, is no state funeral for Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher destroyed many people's, no apostrophe, lives and whole communities in her attacks on the trade unions, capital T, capital U. We should not spend our money burying her, no full stop. But the witty clever one has had about four times as many people sign up to it as the angry lefty one. So there's a... There's an important lesson there for us all.
Yes.
Indeed. I wonder if they have any kind of heuristics on it to identify related petitions and sum the total of all the related ones, or is this just a clever way for the government to ignore our opinions further?
Probably.
They probably create other petitions themselves.
Yeah. 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 To dilute them.
Yeah.
Does it have the Amazon style? If you liked this petition, you'll like these.
People who voted the same way for this petition also went.
That's cool. It doesn't have that, no. But I think, well, anyway.
Okay, thanks for those awesome discoveries. And Graham,
I was away on holiday last week, and so I haven't been spending that much time with Linux, and it's been busy the last couple of days. Fortunately, Steve Smethurst has saved me from having to discover my own by sending in his. He says, I'll read his email. I use Fedora, PCBSD and Debian, and mounting USB sticks has always been a hit and miss affair, with mount points sometimes failing or appearing, disappearing, having to manually unmount drives mounted with root, user permissions, all this. Well, I have a discovery of the week if you want to use it. Poking around the Arch Linux wiki today, I found that one can make a UDEV rule for auto-mounting USB sticks. It works for me straight off the editor, no further thought required. Copy it from the wiki page, paste it into the text editor and save it to this link that he's sent. He's tried it and he said it's fantastic, and he's tried it on Fedora, and he's tried it on BSD. It doesn't work on BSD, but there's no UDEV on BSD. He says it's the best solution ever for the problems of mounting and unmounting USB devices, which I do actually have a problem with in the same way he does sometimes. So awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, so that brings me on to my discovery. And while flicking around the DistroWatch charts this week, you can change the period over which the ratings are set, and I set it to the last 7 days, and it turns out that the normal top 10 suddenly changes, and a new contender has taken over the top two. A new contender has taken over the number 2 spot, knocking Ubuntu down to number 3, and that's PearOS, or ComisOS if you're French, which the developers are. And the idea of this is it's roughly about a re-implementation of Mac OS X using GNOME Shell. And personally, I don't like either Mac OS X or GNOME Shell. But if you combine the two, take the best bits out of each one, you actually get quite a nice desktop experience.
And what's the explanation for its popularity over the last week? Has there been a big release?
Yeah, it's just been released 4, I think, but it got released earlier and then it got taken back into beta because there were quite a few issues, particularly around installing. Right. And it's been re-released after some more testing. And
it's quite an inspired move, because PearOS has been around for a while. Yeah. So they obviously took a look at GNOME Shell and thought, this is what we've been waiting for, and let's kind of embrace it.
I think this is once again an example of how prescient the GNOME developers were in deciding to make such a flexible system.
Yeah,
if you don't like the default shell, you know, for Mint developers created
if only they'd had a team working on the default shell.
Well, they did have a team working, but you know what I mean? So if you don't like what they came up with as a default, the Mint guys have done their own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Pear OS people have done their own thing. I think that's really cool.
I agree with you, but they could have made it easier for end users to tweak it to their...
Yeah, certainly. Which they kind of are with extensions.gnome.org, that one-click install from your web browser to add new extensions. It's very cool.
Okay.
Which is also in GNOME 3.4.
Excellent. So, that's our discoveries of the last fortnight.
Hooray! Okay, John?
I realised that my rave that I was so excited about actually coming prepared with a rave is what I just used as my discovery of the week.
Oh, John.
Does that mean you have a different discovery of the week?
That you could rave about?
I'm afraid not. Just double booked myself.
John fail. John fail.
And you think hard for a few moments.
Yeah, I don't have a rant either.
Oh no, I've got one. It's okay. I've got one.
Okay.
I come up with something.
That more or less brings us to the halfway point in this fortnight's podcast. Still to come, we have rants and raves, speak your brains, and the results of our open ballot. But now, it's time for speak your... It's time rants for and rants and raves!
this week, me and Andrew are meant to be ranting and raving. I've got a rave, so Andrew should go first.
My rant is about short-term memory. And how basically unreliable this is.
It's good because you can just repeat the same thing over and over again. You can just say that.
Okay, sorry, I should introduce you. So Andrew's going to start off by ranting.
Ranting.
He's going to be angry for 1 minute. Go.
The rising cost of beer. It's rubbish. I really like beer. It's so tasty. It's lovely. But it's so expensive. And that's a bad thing. That's the crux of my argument, really. nothing more well thought out than that. Also, I went to Waitrose yesterday. Surprisingly, lots of things are cheaper in Waitrose than they are in the real world. A bottle of Jameson's, for example, £15, £22 in Sainsbury's. Unbelievable.
And I can see a third of the bottle's already gone.
Yeah, it's such a good value. I've already drunk £11 worth. Also, pig cheeks. Last week they were £2.99 a kilo. Yesterday, £3.49. I blame George Osborne and other people. Oh no, only 43 seconds gone. Also, if you own a grade 2 listed flat which you rent out to somebody, why not just fix the leaks as soon as they appear? Why wait for the people downstairs to get really annoyed and have water dripping into their bedroom? Just fix it. Just do a proper job.
That is 1 minute. I would say congratulations. It seems like you had a lot to get off your chest this week.
Sorry, listeners. I don't have anything to rant about Linux because it's served me well for this past fortnight.
We're celebrating Linux, aren't we, this month?
In fact, the thing that has annoyed me most about software is OS X, because I tried to open a terminal the other day by moving my mouse into the top left-hand screen, like in GNOME Shell.
Yeah.
And for about half a second was baffled as to why it wasn't working. Like, no, why isn't OS X more like Linux?
That is a good sign for GNOME Shell. That action just comes second nature.
It's become so instinctive to me now.
So I'm going to rave, and it's going to be about Linux. And it's about Fim, so I'm going to get started in time myself. Go! So Fim is awesome. If you haven't used Fim, it is actually quite difficult to pick up in the first place because there's no... affordance is what we call it technically, I think. You know, no indication of how you do anything with it. You have to read the manual, you have to learn how it works. But when you do, you can do such amazing things with it. So, for instance, if you want to change a whole sentence, you can do it in just 3 keystrokes. So you can delete this, just cursor anywhere in that sentence, type C-I-S. Yes, C-I-S. And it will delete the entire sentence up to the full stop, put you into insert mode, you can type away, and that's it done. I think that's so cool. Not only that, but, you know, they're built in... Oh, I've used 40 seconds already, look at that. There's so much cool stuff about Fim. You should, you know, just go out there, read the built-in help that's fantastic, and just have a fantastic time. You know, if you learn how to use it, you'll never get stuck at a terminal, not being able to get your graphical system back up again. It's a fantastic program. And they give money to Ugandan orphans. That's a minute.
Awesome. Fantastic. That was excellent. Okay, so I guess that means it's time for Speak Your Brains. And we've had two Speak Your Brains emails over the course of the last 2 weeks. The first one is from Hugh.
Hey,
hello, Hugh. I haven't heard from you for a while.
No, you're right. Hello, Tux Radar team, he says. A few months ago, I spoke my brains about how Mageia and had revived my rubbish Aspire 1. I remember. Since then, the distro has been climbing steadily up the Distro Watch charts, and at the time of writing, it's in 8th position. How fantastic for the Mageia team. The current issue of Linux Format even carries a reader letter praising it. Having said all that, being the hungry distro hopper that I am, I since put Bodhi Linux on the netbook. Again, I'm absolutely amazed. It's one of the few distros I've seen that's based around the sorely underappreciated Enlightenment desktop. As such, although it's very pretty, it has incredibly low system requirements. I've also tested it on my desktop and can confirm it scales well to a more beefy system too. So far, I'm incredibly impressed with Bodhi Linux, and I think this one will actually stay on my Aspire 1 for some time. Cheers, Hugh.
Really nice, really positive.
Really great positive. And the second Speak Your Brains.
Bodhi is really good.
I've never used Enlightenment.
Bodhi is one of the distros that Gary's been trying out, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, in his quest to learn more about Linux.
How has he found it?
I think he liked it.
He booted up with the penguins dropping from the sky, which stumped him for a bit.
That angered him.
That could at least have been like Lemmings. It could have been like a game.
Yeah.
What is that Lemmings Linux clone?
Is there a Lemmings Linux clone?
Yeah, it's really good, with penguins. It's almost identical.
Just Lemmings just with penguins.
Isn't it just called Penguins?
I can't remember. I really can't remember.
If Lemmings is Lemmings, penguins should be penguins.
I'm not sure. Anyway. The second Speak Your Brains. Hi, Tux Radar team. I just wanted to say that I completely agree with you. I've just discovered Bodhi Linux 2 and it's brilliant. I think you should cover it in an upcoming issue of the magazine. Cheers, not you. So there you go. Thanks, Hugh, and not Hugh, for your Speak Your Brains. If you want me to do a Speak Your Brains next time, send in your ideas.
Also, do consider sending in a rant or a rave an audio recording to jonathan.roberts@futurenet.com, and we'll include that in the podcast.
And if you've discovered anything, please send them to me
as well. Yeah, I don't share them out.
It's now time for Open Ballot. We asked, do you care about software freedom, or do you just use it because it's free? We got 52 comments.
Wow.
In a really short amount of time, too.
Yeah.
You clearly care about this.
Lots of people care. But because it's not there's no... If we did a poll on this, it would be really inconclusive, because people just seem to be really happy with free software in general, and just have lots and lots of really cool reasons for using it. So... we'll get stuck in to the comments first. Nuki says, initially the latter, recently the former. Out of context, that doesn't really mean that much. But he says, the flexibility afforded by open source is incredible. By this, I do not mean the age-old tale of modifying the source, which is a complete ludicrousness for the vast majority of users, but the vast support and general options in open source tends to be far greater. If there is a problem, you may need to dig into config files, but generally a solution is there.
It's true.
I will say that... although I never, hardly ever modify the source, knowing that you can or somebody can is a big part of the attraction.
Mm. Yeah. Knowing that you can, knowing that you can pay someone to modify it, especially in the case of Munich government.
And if you can compile it from source, it means if the libraries change, you can still compile it to a newer, newer set.
Awesome work. Toey says... Hey, Toey.
Hey, Toey.
I use Linux because you meet a better class of people using it.
I travel first class for the same reason.
I don't have to pay billionaires anything, and I'm virtually virus-free and secure.
Well, we didn't need to know that, but...
I'd just like to add that I don't normally travel first class. If I could afford it, maybe, but...
Yeah, we think people think we live the life, don't they?
But we really don't. Except for Andrew shops at Waitrose.
I shop at Waitrose because the whiskey there is cheaper.
Free beer noobs says, I see my computer as the equivalent of my dad's shed. When I was young, he would spend a weekend or two taking things apart, fixing bits, breaking other bits, and then putting it back together in order to improve whatever it was or to do its job more efficiently. Is that what he told you? open source software gives you that same freedom. Long live the freedom to tinker. Absolutely, quite agree. Andy HTC is a 68, is a dissenting voice here. He says, talks about using Ubuntu and how it was great, but then a dark shadow came into his world. He says, I was happy with free software, but the family weren't, so when the chance came to try the new Windows 8 beta, I gave it a go. Wow, my eyes have been opened again after a few years of Windows bashing. Stuff works and the wife and kids are all happy. As much as I love Linux and the free software that goes with it, I may well pay for Windows 8 when it comes out, as it's the only way to keep the whole family happy and to ensure that my daughter's schoolwork can be done without fuss. That demands a cover feature in Linux format comparing the relative merits of Windows 8 and...
Well, if we do it next month, should we make it Ubuntu?
Let's make it Ubuntu.
Big 12.04 release.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which isn't actually... Oh, it's the Ubuntu kernel, isn't it? And
yeah. Ubuntu versus Linux.
Oh, no, we can't cover Ubuntu in Linux format anymore.
Oh, no.
It's not a Linux kernel, so...
Can we make that happen, Ben?
We can make that happen.
Awesome. Awesome win.
We should also point out that just because you use Windows, there's no bar to using free software.
No, that's true.
That's true.
A lot of it compiles on Windows. I'm also... Personally, always get a little bit sad when it compiles on Windows, because I used to feel special because there was all this cool software I could use that people who use Windows couldn't.
Have you ever heard of the OpenCD project?
Yeah.
That they put together the best open source software for Windows on one CD with an integrated installer and browser, a bit like our cover disks, just to advertise the best of open source software. And that's really cool. So you don't have to give it up just because you use Windows.
I do find it frustrating when free software on OS X or Windows works better than it does on the
Yeah, LibreOffice on the Mac is brilliant.
Audacity usually does. You don't
That's
have to
just because
struggle.
The Macs in the office have 8 gigabytes of RAM.
That's true.
No, you're making us sound like we live the ultimate life again.
No, it's also because the LibreOffice developers have done an awful lot of work stripping out useless
code. Yeah, it's gotten much faster. It's true.
Has. They've come on in leaps and bounds. GNU is not Unix, says anonymous IT penguin. What if Stallman didn't start the open source free software project GNU? No GNU tools, maybe no Linux kernel that's built with the GNU compiler, maybe no Apache server, maybe no Android OS that uses the Linux kernel. These are all due to the free software principle.
Yes.
Absolutely right.
And yes. Equally, no Facebook, no Amazon, probably no Google.
No us.
Yeah. All of these big, massive, super rich, successful companies would have fallen by the wayside if they didn't have a free tool to use when they get started.
Does anyone know what year Richard Stallman released the first version of GCC?
1983.
I go for 82
or 83. 84. So close. Some outrageous sexism now from... I'm using anonymous penguin, not verified. He says, I can tinker with my computer, I know how it works, and it's great being able to do absolutely anything I want with no barriers outside of my own knowledge. That doesn't apply to other people, though. If you don't understand and fear your computer, like so many of my fellow students sadly do, the promise of being able to tinker and modify your computer means nothing. That's one of the earlier comments there about modifying the source. Try explaining the benefits of being able to access source code to a 16-year-old girl who doesn't even understand how the copy function on a Mac works.
To be fair to her, I keep losing Windows on the Mac. They disappear somewhere and I can't find them.
This is Ben, our disk editor. He rebuilds make files.
I think the answer to that is the Raspberry Pi, and children should be taught about tinkering and the fact that it's your hardware and we should all be free to do whatever we want, and that's actually part of the education.
I think, you know, if people use free software because it's free, but then, and I know Linux can be rough around the edges, and you do have to tinker and make, you know, config files and stuff from time to time. But because you get exposed to those innards, that's where the freedom aspect really comes in. Because knowing how your software works, caring about how it works, I think that's actually really important in our day and age to building an inclusive, participatory society.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's important is that if Microsoft were, for example, to open parts of their OS so that people could tinker in the same way, it would be them dictating the terms and them saying how and where you can tinker.
Yeah.
Whereas with Linux, it's like a completely new continent. You can go anywhere you want. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. It's up to you. And I think that's the great exploratory nature of it.
I've been reading about the history of America recently, and Linux is kind of like the best period in the history of America when they, you know,
the
just,
Native Americans were just
when they were slaughtered.
Down.
Yeah, before they reached the far west, when they were kind of in the Midwest, and they were still in the middle.
Hey, Native Americans, did you know Jameson's is only 16 quid a bottle at Waitrose?
My point is that it was an exciting time, and there was all these resources, and you know, all of this land to be discovered, discovery of oil and
empty land, and nobody there.
Oil exploitation is the best bit about American history.
No, just the excitement of discovering all these wonderful resources
that had already been discovered by people who were living there.
Okay, yeah, it was terrible. It was pretty bad. But it was also exciting from one angle.
I know what you mean, yeah, I'm sorry.
From one angle. I feel really bad about the whole Native American issue. That was sad.
From the angle of the people committing the genocide, it was probably really exciting.
I feel like I regularly walk myself into these kind of situations and talk to you.
Free versus freedom. Hyoge says, hi Hyoge. For me, it's free first, freedom second. I went to Linux because I couldn't be bothered cracking proprietary software to use it for free. You lazy, lazy, lazy Hyoge.
I've been trying to work out how to pronounce that name on the forums for months. Hyoge.
Spanguages, just on the back of that comment from Hyoge, says, generally I don't think the free price is a factor. In my experience, home users will routinely pirate what they can't afford or don't want to pay for. I'm sure that this is more important on the enterprise side. So they only do it if they can be bothered.
And just one thing I'd like to raise is a lot of people talk about how it's not important if you don't tinker with it, you know, that freedom's not there. But I disagree with that, because I think the important thing is that other people do tinker with it and you get the results of that tinkering. That's the GNU license. It's not just what you do, it's what the whole community does, and you get the whole... Totally.
But that's in a way what I was trying to say earlier by I don't do hardly any tinkering, but I know that I could if I had to. Mm-hmm. You know, if a file format broke, I know that I could go back to when the file format worked and you know, in some way get it to work again, which is a terrible prospect when you use other pieces of software, especially when you learn how to use another piece of software and you're stuck into something like InDesign and you're at the whim of Adobe whenever they update it.
Yeah.
No, you're not with free software. You can stick with old versions of Scribus if you want.
Or Apple when they update stuff. I mean, Rakios says, I don't recall being offered anything by Apple as an alternative to the disappointing Lion, except to carry out an unsupported downgrade which restricts my choices within that walled garden of theirs.
I think on Ben's community point as well, I think that there's a community full stop. In and of itself is a good thing. People are working together to build something, and the license allows that.
Final two shout-outs to Jake Moore, who says, who ends his post by quoting Braveheart with freedom.
So, is that from the end?
Yeah, it's from just from the end. That's
my
favourite.
It's been so long since I've seen it.
That's my favourite bit.
Where he's being hung and drawn and quartered.
Yeah, that's why the Scots are still free.
That's why the Scots are still free, because of Mel Gibson. And Thameslink. Says sometimes it gives a shout out to Neil Stevenson, who is awesome. So he by extension is also awesome. I think free as in price and free as in freedom kind of go hand in hand, because you're free to break Linux, you're free to tinker with it, and then if you absolutely balk it, it doesn't cost you any money to just to go back and install it. And that, you know. If it cost £100, but you were free to smash it up, then I'd be a lot less reluctant to try and edit config files and things myself.
I would like to see more developers charging for their free software. What's that piece of music software called?
Arda.
I really like the way he does it, in that if you want to download pre-built packages, then you have to pay to do that from the website. But you can download the source code for free and build it yourself.
Cool.
And distributions can do that and put it in their repositories.
He's working in a domain as well where the equivalent pieces of software cost many thousands of pounds. And he knows people are using his software to do that. So it's not actually asking for much. No. And it helps him to develop on it full time.
And I would really love to see more free software projects charge.
I mean, Red Hat have built $1 billion a year company out of doing basically that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it is price with me. I think, as I've probably said before, it's I don't want to invest my time into learning something that I don't, or the community doesn't have control over. Mm. I like the fact that we all have part ownership of the operating system and the software, even if we choose not to exercise whatever rights they are. That's what I like.
Yeah.
And that's all the weather.
Okay, so that's the end of our podcast for this episode. Thanks
very much. Hola.
Oh, it's Effie.
Esta una anniversaire. Tres importanto. Sí. Oh, I'll drop this embarrassing charade. It's Effie's birthday. Happy birthday, Effie.
Happy birthday, Effie. That's why he's not here.
Yes.
He's sat out in the sun with a tequila.
Oh, he's enjoying himself.
Hopefully not doing too much DIY.
Feeling
good. Hey, listeners.
Taking Bilbo for a walk across the field. Feeling the soft green grass between his toes.
So yes, okay. Thanks everyone, thanks for listening. Don't forget you can subscribe to the magazine, it helps us out, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.